just want to share with everyone the news that our daughter and son-in-law had a girl, had a baby boy after three girls. So today was a big simcha for us. Yeah, it was a kind of review, which is the Minyan Yoneinu. It's Minyan Diyoma. And I saw the little boy. He's not so cute yet, but he's he'll get there.
He's being recorded.
The goal for today is twofold. I'd like to give an introduction to Siman Vav and look at the Rambam and the Ravid Isurei Bia Perek Yud Ches Halacha Tes, the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer Siman Vav Sif Yud Gimel the Beis Shmuel Sif Katan Chavav. On the Rambam, to defend the Rambam against the attack of the Ravid, we have the Magid Mishnah. To defend the Ravid against the Magid Mishnah's defense of the Rambam, we have the Mishnah Melech. There's a very important tshuva here of the Beis Meir and Rabbi Kivim. But the second goal of the shiur, and I'm going to give that precedence, is to get practical. So we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Piri Verivya in a practical sense. Baruch Hashem, we've been covering the simonim at the beginning of Eben Ezer, and we got our feet wet in the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. The Gemara is in Masechta Yevamos, Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Samach Beis Amid Aleph, and the Rambam is in Hilchas Ishus, Perek Tesvav, and basically the entire Perek is relevant to defining with, you can carve out and omit a few halachas, but defining the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, it's right there, the entire Perek is dedicated to that. What we know is the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. At what point has one fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Verivya? According to the Shita of Beis Shammai, we require two zacharim. According to Beis Hillel, one zachar and one nekeva. The question is, does Beis Hillel accept Beit Shammai? According to the Yerushalmi, Beis Hillel were adding to Beit Shammai, not disagreeing with Beit Shammai, and therefore there are two possible ways of fulfilling the mitzvah of Piri Verivya according to Beis Hillel. One is Zachar Unikeva, and Yalfina mi Briyasa Shalom, in a sense we imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachar Unikeva Bara Osam, we too have to create a mini world by bringing a boy, a male, and a female into the world. And according to the Yerushalmi, as we mentioned, Beis Hillel would accept Beis Shammai that two Zacharim are sufficient, even though the Shita of the Yerushalmi does not appear neither in the Rambam nor in the Torah Shulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, there are poskim who will quote the Yerushalmi lahalacha in certain situations, and we'll rely on that shita that you could be yotzei the mitzvah with two zacharim. If you recall, Beit Shammai derives that from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, and then he was porish mi ishto. Apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu had already fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. The Bavli doesn't seem to accept that in the context of Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel says we cannot derive anything from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is different. He was Shechina, he was dedicated to Shechina, therefore he was Parish B'Ishto, even if I grant you that Moshe Rabbeinu did not fulfill the mitzvah period. So that's the Bavli. But in the Yerushalmi, we have Beis Hillel adding to Beit Shammai. In addition to two Zacharim, we have Zachar Unikeva. There is one indication that the Bavli does reverberate the Yerushalmi. There's some sort of an echo of the Yerushalmi, and that is the Shita of Abaye, if you remember, on Samach Beis. That Abaye says that if in the third generation of Bnei Bonim Hareim Kibonim, you end up with a grandson replacing a daughter, so you have at the end of the day a son and a grandson, you yotze the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, but not in the reverse. If you leave a daughter and a granddaughter, Abaye says you're not yotze the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. And even though Rava rejects Abaye, he may be doing so for other reasons, not for this reason. But the fundamental idea that a mitzvah period of Rivya under certain situations could be fulfilled with two zcharim, that does seem to find some sort of expression in the Bavli as well. But as I said, it's rare amongst the poskim to see that we paskin like the Yerushalmi and two zcharim are sufficient. The Bavli is very clear that it's not sufficient to have a zachar unikeva. The mitzvah of period of rib is not fulfilled at the moment of the birth of the child, whichever gender you're up to, but rather the children have to continue to exist up until the death of the parent. And although Rav Huna disagrees, and we'll see about Rav Huna in just a minute, we paskin like Rav Yochanan that Mesu Bonav lo kiyem period of rib. Whether Rav Yochanan means retroactively, you forfeit the mitzvah period for Rivya. Or at the very least, mikan ulahaba, you now drop the ball, so to speak, on the mitzvah period for Rivya. And therefore, Rav Yochanan, according to that second approach, is only requiring a person to continue and to find some sort of replacement for the zachar in a keva. But at the end of the day, once Mesu Banav Lokiyim Mitzvah Piriv Rivya. So therefore the Mitzvah Piriv Rivya has an element of Sheves in it, which means to propagate the world. It's not enough to have the Zohar Nekeva. The Zohar Nekeva have to be capable of having children. And therefore the Gemara establishes beyond the shadow of a doubt that if the child is, in the case of a male, a saris, in the case of a female, an islandess, that means neither the male or the female child are capable of propagating, then lo yatzi de chovaso. What would be if at some point in time his child became an islandess, became a saris through some sort of medical issue? Once again, that would be equivalent to Beisu Banav. And we'd raise the same question, whether or not Lamafreya, his mitzvah is undermined, or at least mikan ulahava, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah period of rivya, he has to continue to do so. How far does this mitzvah of period of rivya go? What's its power? We see, for example, that the Gemara allows the sale of a Sefer Torah, which is normally forbidden for the sake of period of rivya. We see that an Adon who has a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, Kofen also, we force him to be Meshachrer, his Chatzi Eved, because in the state of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, there's no way, no how that he can marry a woman. He can't marry a Shivcha because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Chorin, a Bas Yisrael, because he's a Chatzi Eved. So he has no wherewithal of fulfilling the mitzvah period. Rivia, therefore, Kofenis Rabba, we force the other Adon in the Shutfus to be Meshachar, his half of the Eved. Even though the Gemara establishes clearly in Masech to Shabbos that Ein Omrim Li Adam Chatei Bishvil Shed Yizke Chavero, I don't sin in order to be Mezaki you. And in the case of an Adon who's being Meshachar as Eved, he violates the mitzvah of Li Olam Bahem Yavodu, but he does so for the greatest sake of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. Tosis classifies the mitzvah of Piri Verivya as a mitzvah Rabbah, and therefore we sell a Sefer Torah for Piri Verivya, and we kofenes rabo, we violate, and we undermine the principle of Ein Omrim Li Adam Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero for the sake of the mitzvah of Piri Veriv. The mitzvah of Piri Veriv is so unique that even non-Jews, possibly, again this is going to be a gigantic controversy, might be chayav in the mitzvah of Piri Veriv. And this brings us to the Sugin Yevamos, Hayilo Banim Begiyuso V'Nizgaya. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kiyem period for Rivya. That means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he had children before his conversion. And at the point of his conversion, the children are no longer miyuchas achrav, because gersh and his gayer kikot and shenola dami. And that's why Reish Lakish objects to Rabbi Yochanan. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says that since he achieved the mitzvah of period for Rivya bigiyuso, we don't forfeit the mitzvah of period for Rivya after geruso. However, the Rambam adds a special condition. The Rambam says it's got to be Nizgairu Banav Imo. According to the Rambam's understanding, Rabbi Yochanan, it's not enough that he had children, Bigiyuso, and he was Misgair. His children likewise have to be Misgair. That means the male and the female have to also undergo Geirus. And the Magid Mishnah in Hilchas Ishus, when he elaborates on the sheet of the Rambam that it's not enough that the father was Miskayer, you need that the children as well be Miskayer, the Magid Mishnah adds the words, Kidei Leos Lo Bonim Yisraelim. And it could very well be that the mitzvah period of Erivya, as it existed before Matan Torah, changes after Matan Torah. Which means that before Matan Torah, Pruruvu Umilus Aretz is addressed to all the nations of the world. It's uniform for every human being to propagate the world. However, with Matan Torah, the mitzvah may have taken a different turn. And now the mitzvah is Sheyilo Bonim Yisraelim. The mitzvah is to propagate the world with Jews. And this reminds me of the Shita of Rav Huna. If we go backwards for a minute, Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Yochanan. He allows for a Kiyum Piriv Rivi, even if Mesu Bonov. And he quotes the Halach of Rav Asi that Ein Ben David Ba Adshi Cholu Neshama Shemaguf. Rashi explains that Guf, just like the Guf is a is in a sense a home or a how would you say in English
a vessel.
Yeah, it's a vessel for the neshama. So too, there's a vessel for all the neshamas before they come down to the Guf, also, and that's called a Guf. And there's a certain finite number of neshamas that are in the Guf up in Shemayim, and Ben David is going to come when all the neshamas of the Guf finally come down to this world. And therefore Rav Huna says that even if Mesu Bonav, he still accomplished that goal of bringing Ben David a little bit closer by bringing a neshama down to from the Guf down to the physical body. But the Aruch Laner proves from different sugyas and shas, which we won't go into now, we discussed in the past, that Ad sheyichlu neshama shebeguf means that they come down in Jewish gufos. Meaning the Am Hashem have to populate the world. After Matan Torah, when the mitzvah shifted to Bnei Yisrael, it means to propagate the earth with the neshama shebeguf, meaning Bnei Yisrael. It's the Bnei Yisrael who have the ikar function of Yeshuva Shalom. And in that context, says the Magid Mishnah, it makes sense that the Rambam adds another condition. Rabbi Yochanan allows you, Begeruso, to have fulfilled the mitzvah, but only if you are responsible for the propagation of Jewish neshamas in the world. And therefore, there must be a process of Gerus. And even though Reish Lakish objects to Rabbi Yochanan because ain't but of miyuchasim achrov, nevertheless, this all depends upon how we define the mitzvah period of Rivia. Is the mitzvah to have children, the children of miyuchas achrov, or are you just a gorem for sheves, for the world to be inhabited? And therefore, even if following the Geirus, Gerek, Shenis, Gerek, Kut, Shnoldom, the children that he had, Begiyuso, are no longer Miuchas Akrov, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have propagated and populated the world, in the sense that you are responsible, says the Magid Mishnah, but you have to propagate and populate the world with Jewish neshamas, and therefore we need the Geirus, but that is the great mitzvah, the mitzvah Rabbah of period for Rivi. Period of Erivya is constantly, consistently placed in Chazal together with Talmud Torah as the two paradigm mitzvahs. And the relationship between these two mitzvahs, even on a halachic level, is clear in the Chochmah Shlomo. It is commented at the very beginning of Eben Ezer, quoting the Gemara that call him a God in Sanhedrin, call him a Gadol Yosef Etov Beso, Milo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilu Yoldo. It means that the ultimate goal of having children is to raise them for Torah mitzvahs, which again supports that view of the Magid Mishnah's interpretation of the Rambam that we're trying to get Jewish neshamas into the world. They, the Jewish neshamas, Bnei Yisrael, will fulfill the Torah mitzvahs. If you adopt a child, says the Chochmah Shlomo, you have that kiyum of Gidul Banim LeTorah, of raising the children for Torah mitzvahs. You've populated the world for the purpose of Kiyum Ritzono Yisbarach. And the Chochmah Shlomo is noted to believe that in the case of Rabbi Yochanan Mesu Banov, and Rabbi Yochanan says Lo Kiyum Piriv Erivya, then what he's lacking is raising the children for Torah mitzvahs. The biological process of giving birth to the children, he's fulfilled. He's brought the neshamas down from the goof. But what's lacking here is being able to raise the children so that they can continue the process of Kiyum Torah mitzvahs, the post-Sinai process. And therefore, says the Chacham Shlomo, if you adopt children to replace the children that you lost, then the mother of Shafi'i Yotze the mitzvah period. As far as the biological element of bringing children to populate the world that you had, you brought the neshamas down from the goof. Ella, what, you didn't raise them to Torah mitzvahs, they cannot continue after your death. The legacy of Shmiras Torah mitzvahs, that you can fulfill by adopting children. And therefore, it makes a lot of sense in the light of the Chacham Shlomo to encourage couples who have not fulfilled the mitzvah period of Rivya and are having problems doing so to adopt children. On a psychological level, according to the scientists, there is some sort of relationship, a cause and effect relationship between adoption and being able to be fertile and have your own children. Nobody really knows how that works. But the whole field of infertility is still in diapers, if you pardon the pun. We really don't know what causes infertility. It's very, I shouldn't say rare, but it's in the minority cases that infertility can be pinpointed to a biological factor. And therefore, the whole question of infertility, as Chazal said at the beginning of Tainus, it's one of the three maftechos that weren't passed on to man, that belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he keeps his cards close to himself. Therefore, fertility is something that belongs into the realm of the divine. The Gemara Megillah of Zion, as we indicated before, permits the sale of a Sefer Torah for the sake of period of Rivia, and the Mechaber Paskins like that here at the beginning of Eben Ezra Siman Beis. The Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel, allows one to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laretz for the sake of period of Rivia, to marry a girl. Again, there are plenty of girls here, but if you don't find one, then you'll have to go to Chutz Laretz. The Gemara at the end of Tainus says, Ein ha'isha el lebanim. And therefore, if a woman, a married woman, would refuse to have children, and her husband wants to have children, he's obligated to have children. We'll soon see there are three different obligations involved, but she refuses, that's called a misareves. Is yotzi velo yiten ksuba, she goes out without a ksuba, and that's all his obligations vis-a-vis his wife are completely null and void because she refuses to have children. And the Gemara says at the beginning of Yevamos, on that base of days, that if a man marries a woman and he finds her to be an islandess and he didn't know about it, it's kedushei tol, she doesn't even need a get. Because the essence of Jewish marriage is propagating and having children. The question I want to raise with you today is, can this mitzvah be postponed? Can a couple get married and, for reasons that I'll explain as we go along, decide to postpone the fulfillment of the mitzvah of period of Rivia? What are the reasons a couple might decide to do so? After all, at this point, they have no children whatsoever. We'll go through the various scenarios. But scenario number one is they have no children. And this became quite popular, and I say it a little bit with the krechts, among certain Orthodox communities where they seem to condone and almost encourage postponement of having children if the couple or one of the two members of the couple are very much involved in establishing some sort of financial basis. They don't feel secure yet financially, what we call mizonos. And often, one or both of the Bnei Azug are involved in study. They're going to colleges, they're taking various courses in order to establish themselves financially with a parnasa. And in halachic terms, the question really hinges on one concept and one concept only, and that is bittul mitzvahs aseh. We have los ases and we have ases. With regard to ases, a person is obligated, but there is also another, in a sense, los ases dimension to every mitzvah ases, and that is bittul mitzvah ases. A classical example of a bittul mitzvah ases would be eating outside a sukkah. That case is somewhat extreme. It's very dramatic. Because there the bittul ases is bikum v'aseh. You actively are mevatel a mitzvah ases. The Minchas Chinuch in the mitzvah of sukkah presents the possibility that bittul mitzvah ases in the case of sukkah might be equal to violating an iser. What would be the halachic nafkamina if you classify it as an iser? Exactly, you'd have to give up your last penny in your pocket, whereas for a mitzvah ases, it's ad chomish nechasav, up to 20%, not beyond. Hamavazbez al yivazbez yoser mi chomish. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, if I classify eating outside the sukkah, again we're talking about a Sudas Keva, or on the first night, as an isur, I've done a maisa vera, then it could be that to avoid such a situation, I have to give up every last penny in my pocket. But that's a very dramatic case of bittul mitzvah ases. A less dramatic case would be if I don't take a lulav. There's no active involvement in bittul mitzvah ases. In the worst case, I didn't fulfill the obligation that's incumbent upon me, and I forfeit, I omit the mitzvah ases, the kiyum ases I have not achieved. But there's no maisa biyadayin. I mean, the thought once occurred to me, what happens if a person on the first day of Sukkot would take a lulav and rip it to shreds? But I still don't think that would be a bittul aseh v'kum aseh. The bittul aseh is in the situation that he doesn't take the lulav. He may have arrived at that situation by ripping up his lulav into shreds, but that would still be a bittul aseh v'sheh v'altas. The question that arises in the case of a couple that postpones having children is whether or not their marital relations can be seen, can be viewed and defined as a bittul aseh b'kum v'aseh, which according to the Minchas Chinuch would give it an entirely different status. It would change the complexion of it. But be that as it may, one thing is crystal clear. We are involved in, at least, at the very least, a classical bittul mitzvah ases. But here's the question. Bittul mitzvah ases means that I've given up the mitzvah. This couple is not giving up on the mitzvah of Piri Verivia. What are they doing? Postponing it. That's called shehiyas ha-mitzvah. And here we have to ask ourselves the following question. Does shehiyas ha-mitzvah, when you're shmasha the kiyum ha-mitzvah, does that constitute, at least for that period of time, a bittul ases? Now, if you have a mitzvah, shazman groma, which means that the gorim of the mitzvah is a certain specific zman, the mitzvah can only be fulfilled within a framework of time that begins at time T1 and terminates at time T2, clearly, if you let that time of the mitzvah pass, you have a vatal mitzvah saseh. The real question here is what happens with a mitzvah that's not Zman Groma? The Torah did not set a specific time period for that mitzvah. And basically any time during his lifetime, before he dies and he leaves this world, if he has a child, if he has a male and a female child, he has fulfilled the mitzvah period of Arivia. Can he delay the mitzvah period of Arivia? Since no Zman was set for this mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that has to be fulfilled within a lifetime, then what's the rush? The problem is going to be Zrizim Akdim Levitzvahs. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Psachim on Daf Zayin, on Daf Dalet, based on Vayashkem Avram Baboker, when he went out to Mila, he did so at the earliest possible time. Rashi says immediately with Anetz HaKama, is Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. So what is Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs? So this is a fundamental Chakira. I heard it from my Rebbe, but it goes way back in history. Is Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs simply another form of Hidur Mitzvah, of embellishing the Mitzvah? Or is Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs relevant to defining the Zman HaMitzvah? That even though the mitzvah in and of itself, as I look at it at its own local halakhas, doesn't have a time element, but nevertheless the universal global halakha of Zrizus sets up a zman for the mitzvah. What would be the basis for such a conclusion? It seems so radical. The Gemara Pesach. Let me give you the example, and I think the Chakira will be a little bit clearer through the example. The concrete example is the Gemara wants to know what is the time for Bedikas Chametz? The Mishnah says, early our boss, or both Kimis HaChametz are in there. So the Gemara says, why? Midoraisa, Bidalal Masagi doesn't even need Bedika. The Rabbanon instituted Bedika because Shami Yitzagluski Yof, or whatever it might be. And therefore, the mitzvah of Bedika as a protection for not violating Bal Yerah Bayimotzeh is really irrelevant until Bal Yerah Bayimotzeh is Tofes. And even if you accept the earliest time period for Bal Yerah Bayimotzeh, it's only Chatzos Hayom Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu Ach Chilek, it means noontime on the 14th of Nisan. So the Gemara suggests that the reason why Bedikas Chametz has to take place before that time period, we cannot wait until Chatzos, is because of Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. The Gemara rejects that only for one reason. Because if Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs defines the nature and the time point of Bedika, it would only be in the morning. We don't find that Vayashkem Avram before the Boker, that the night before he went out towards the Akedah. Again, Tosfos Svarim, maybe he didn't go out the night before because Tamachach Ma'yetzi Yechidi Ma'layla. But after all is said and done, the Gemara basically can be summarized in the following two sentences. Number one, that Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs would set up the time for Bedika, but only as early as the morning, Yudalid with Netzach Hamav. And number two, that there's no justification for early arbas or bo kimas hachametz l'arneir the night before within the framework of Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. And the Gemara has to come up with another theory to justify that Bedikas Chametz b'layla because they know the because Ropenel Mitzvah Vateyem and there Yoflu Bedika. But in and of itself, the Gemara would have been satisfied with Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. But we're not talking about Hidur Mitzvah. We talked about establishing the Chovas on Mitzvah.
That's Mitzvah They're just trying to get at the reason why Chachamim decided to make it a Darabasa and not to...
Excellent. How do we know that this works on a Daraisa list? Okay. So the answer to your question, Dov, is the Gemara Menachas. What does the Gemara Menachas say in Perek Rabbi Yishmael? The Gemara there uses a different language, a different formulation. Please pay attention because it could be that this is not your classical reason Makdim LeMitzvahs. The Gemara says, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. What's the case? We know, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, that for the sake of a carbon, we will violate the Shabbos, the carbon of Shabbos, the Ola Shabbos. But the Gemara wants to know what happens after the Dalet Avodos. And now what you're missing is what's called hekter eivarim v'chalavim. Now technically the hekter to burn these innards could take place b'layla, after Shabbos. So the Gemara addresses the following question. Should we burn the eivarim on Shabbos itself? Or should we wait till after Shabbos? The nafkamina is whether you're violating the Shabbos. It's the first mission in Perek Rabbi Yishmael. If you have a menachas, I'll try to find a few. So the Gemara says an unbelievable thing. That because chaviva mitzvah v'shaita, since you have the opportunity to burn the chalav ne'evarim immediately after the shechitas hakarban, don't delay doing it. And therefore, do it on Shabbos. That's not a drabbana. That means that we define the hekter chalavim as bo bayom, at the day of the Dalet Avodos, rather than pushing it off until the end, meaning after Shabbos b'layla, even though by doing so, by pushing it off to Shabbos, we will fulfill the mitzvah hekter, but we will forfeit, we'll circumvent the violation of Shabbos. But the Gemara says, name, we're not going to do that. We're going to be docha Shabbos. Why? Because chaviva mitzvah shaita. And the Chayei Adam, based on this logic, he doesn't quote the Gemara Menachos, but he assumes that Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs is more important than Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho. At the beginning of the second parak Kiddush, we discussed it in the past. Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho is a big deal, and yet the Chayei Adam and Nishmas Adam comes to the conclusion that if you have a choice, you could postpone the mitzvah and do it yourself, or do it right now, immediately, bezrizus, but you'll have to send a shliach because you're not available. Better, it's a better option to do it now through a shliach, forfeiting mitzvah bo, Yosef Mishlucho, for the sake of zrizim akdim lemitzvahs. I don't know if that's a raya gvura, but it's a mitzvah raya, that zrizim akdim lemitzvahs is not something external to the mitzvah, it's not just heder mitzvah, but it's intrinsic to the mitzvah. So let's just put this on the table. That the first issue that we have to face here, when we talk about postponing a mitzvah, even a mitzvah that could be fulfilled much later on down the line, is undermining Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. However, if the ball stops here, the buck stops here, I don't know if that's enough, considering these pressing needs. Again, assuming the Rav, you know, the couple consults with the Rav, and the Rav decides that these are pressing needs, I don't know, even if Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs will give us some sort of pressing, urgent time framework, I don't know if that's enough to override all the other considerations that are pushing in favor of postponement. And therefore, I would raise a totally different question, and a very fundamental one. And it could be relevant to many different mitzvahs. What does the Torah mean, so to speak? You know, that's a bold statement. But what does the Torah mean on a halachic sense, in terms of defining halacha, when no time framework is given for a mitzvah? Does that mean exactly what it says? There's no time for this mitzvah. Take your time. Or does it mean that if there's no time built into the mitzvah, then the mitzvah is immediate? It's now. The only difference is that there's no end time to the mitzvah. Meaning, the mitzvah continues and you could obtain it later on. And to the best of my knowledge, there are two mitzvahs that I know of where this issue really comes to the fore. One is Mila Shelo Bizmano, so we're after the eighth day of Mila. And the other is Re'ias Negud. That the Kohen, once there's a nega, he's called upon to see the nega, and if it's amok min habasar, he has to declare that it's tamei. So with regard to Mila Shelo Bizmano, we have machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid at the very beginning of Hilchas Mila. And according to, and it's not just the Ravid, the many Rishonim agree with him, Mila Shelo Bizmano does not suffer postponement. Even though, technically speaking, a person could mal himself once we're past the eighth day, could mal himself any time before his death, and he obtains the bits of Mila. Nevertheless, the Mila must be done immediately. And this is a whole discussion among Avram and Shulchan Aruch and in many different places, whether or not we can be laid back about Mila Shelo Bizmano. Or should Mila Shelo Bizmano, once the doctor, let's say the physician, gives the okay, the child is ready for Mila, immediately fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, even Bo Bayom. And again, there'd be many considerations here why it's beneficial to wait and postpone for this Mila. Perhaps you can get more people showing up participating in the Sudas Mila, the Sudas Mitzvah. Perhaps you get a different Moel, I don't know what. Whatever the considerations might be, you know, your parents are coming from Chutz Lahitz to visit, why not postpone the Mila until they can get here? Well, perhaps they could, you know, change their whole programs, you know, cancel one flight, take a different flight. But how far do you have to drive yourself crazy in this case? However, Rabosai, Lefiani is daiti, there's no raya from Mila Shelo Bizmano. Because Mila Shelo Bizmano is the same mitzvah as Mila. In Taryag mitzvahs, we don't count Mila Bizmano as one mitzvah, Mila Shelo Bizmano is another mitzvah. It's all the same mitzvah. So therefore, since the mitzvah of Mila has a time built into it, namely, B'yom HaShmini Imo B'Soro, even if it's past Yom HaShmini, that element of Zman is still, shall we say, lurking in the shadows as far as your definition of the mitzvah Mila. And therefore, it's a pressing need, according to those Rishonim. And furthermore, the mitzvah Mila has a flip side of it. Because if one does not fulfill the mitzvah Mila, what does he have? He has a chiv karis for being an arel. So not only is mitzvah milah a positive command in the classical sense of a mitzvah say, it also has a negative element in that bittul mitzvah milah, which means hashoyas ha'arlus, is itself an abominable situation which incurs a chiv karis. Therefore, it makes absolute sense that the mitzvah milah should not be postponed. But in the case of Piri Verivia, where the Torah didn't give us man for the mitzvah at all, we're not talking about zman and shalom zman, no? Perhaps the mitzvah can suffer postponement, again at the expense of zrizus, but not at the expense of undermining a major chunk of the mitzvah, because there is no zman in this mitzvah, man.
No, I want to say that,
just speak a little loud if you don't mind.
No, I want to say that I believe Rabbi is repeating and saying that there's no time limit in Pure Brief.
But there's no time element at all.
I'm saying if we think about it in age of 50 or whatever it is.
Ah, you mean there's a natural
time. You're not able to do it.
Right.
So what we're saying about Mila is not Bismana, yes, it's connected to the real mitzvah. But you have a time element because it's a time element.
Right.
So the same thing, perhaps, will apply there as well, saying that 50 is like...
But I just want to point out to you, this is what I say with a little smile on my face, Meir, that the Chafetz Chaim became a father at the age of 80. So, we shouldn't throw in the towel, you know. When we say La'erev al Tarach Yadecha, which we'll get to, Meir Tzashem, La'erev could be a late Erev, you know what I'm saying?
He only became a father at the age of 80?
No, he had other children, but I'm just saying, you know. There are other stories that are even more mind-boggling. I mean,
well, on the man, there is no clear limit.
There really isn't. And that's why if you look in the poskim, the famous tshuva, the Zayis Ranon, you know, about allowing a woman to take care of an elderly man, and there's a yichud shaila, and she's simply a nurse. And the Zayis Ranon asks it. So they all ask about shachuf, there's also in Saita about shachuf, that he's not royal bila. And basically the poskim say, and it's all based on this tshuva, the Zayis Ranon, a famous tshuva in Hilchos Yichud, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about, because these issues in yichud come up all the time. And he says that a man, maybe you may think that he's not Roy Levia, but don't sell him short. You never know. And I know men who, I don't argue. Well, let's not get off on a tangent. Okay. Now, I want to share with you a major chiddush of the Chazon Ish. I had a Torah Tmimah here. I don't know where I put it. I meant to keep it on the... This is based on a sugyan moin cotton daf zayinom in Beis, and it's the parasha of Re'iyas Negoyim. Thank you so much. This is Vayikra Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet, I think. Let's see if I'm right. Yeah. Ubiyom Heraos Bo. It says Ra'a Kohen Es Habasar Achai V'Timo. So we're talking about the mitzvah which is counted in Tayag of Re'iyas Negoyim. And the Gemara Mo'ikotin has a drasha. The Torah Tmimah spends a lot of time explaining this drasha, elaborating how the Gemara sees an extra word in the pasuk, biyom hiros bo.
Where in Mo'ikotin?
So the sugya is in Mo'ikotin of Zayin Amid Beis. I don't have the Gemara here in front of me, but the Torah Tmimah quotes the Gemara, and the Gemara says that based on this pasuk, you can delay Re'iyas Negoyim. For various reasons, you don't want to upset the chassan during Yeshivas Yemei HaMishta by being metameim, or perhaps it's during the Yemei HaRegel and there's a bit of simcha, blah blah blah. Again, we're not talking about extremely pressing reasons, you know, we're not dealing with Sakonis Nefashis over here, but the heroes bow, and you can delay it. Yesh Lidchos Adliachar Yeshivas Yemei HaMishta Adliachar Achad. He says the following. Okay, you know what? I'm going to allow you to look at this on your spare time. I don't think it's absolutely necessary. But yes, you know, the Torah Tmimah is just a good tool to see how Chazal darshan the pasuk. Okay, Rabosa.
So what's the Chazon Ish right?
Oh, that's what I'm going to ask you. Can you guess what the Chazon Ish is saying? This is a trick question. Does this mean that since the Torah... I'm going to give you two possibilities, so you have a 50% chance of getting it right. No, just joking with you. But is it A, that since the Torah says you can push off Rias Negoim because there's no Zman for Rias Negoim, there's no set time, it's not Zman Groma, therefore you should universalize it and assume that in general when the Torah does not give a Zman for a mitzvah, we can postpone it. Or should we come to the opposite conclusion? What would you say?
Obviously,
the opposite conclusion. Yeah, the Chazanish says, from here you see Faker. It's the exact opposite. That as a general rule, if you don't have a drasha, then it would be immediate. So that Re'ias the Goyim is the exception to the rule. The Torah is saying, you want to be Metame, the Kohen wants to be Metame, take your time. Don't get so pressured about it.
The exception that proves the rule.
Exactly, the exception that proves the rule.
Don't they go away then?
I see you, I can figure out where you went to yeshiva, you know, by the way you said that. Yeah.
Won't the Nagan disappear if you don't take care of it right away?
Oh, so that's already, you have to learn Nagoyim, you have to know the different types of Nagoyim. We'll talk about that some other time. Nagoyim is a very profound
mistake. That's why maybe you need the
not as profound as Caleb, but if anybody wants to take a few years off of their life and they have nothing better to do, I don't mean it in a negative way.
That's why they need
but
pasuk.
Caleb is an unbelievable Messiah.
So they made the pasuk, they'd have to tell me you could, because...
Yeah. So the Chazanish vacillates back and forth, you know, in his style, he goes through certain halachas in the Goyim, but basically the Chazanish comes to the conclusion that he believes that this is a paradigm for the exception to the rule, and the rule is that when a mitzvah d'oraisa does not have a zman to it, the mitzvah is immediate. It doesn't mean fulfill the mitzvah sometime during your lifetime, or as Meir would say, until you become too old. It means do it now. And that's a very important chazanish that is going to have a major impact on our question about postponing the mitzvah of Piri of Arivi.
Where is the chazanish?
The chazanish is in the Goyim, at the very end of Masechta Negoim. We don't have a chazanish here yet. The chazanish is extensive. I don't know if you've ever seen an entire shelf in a library of chazanishes. Now, here we get to the major tshuva of the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik in his first opening lines in Evan Ezer says the following. There's another issue in postponing Piri V'Rivi. And that's called Chayshina L'Misa. Now, Chayshina L'Misa is a complicated sugya, and basically it's a derabbanan. Meaning, let's say, for example, I have a chiyuv to bring karbanos during the moed. Now, I don't have to bring it on that particular moed. If I miss that moed, I can fulfill that chiyuv on the next moed. Okay? In fact, I will not violate the Isur Bal Tiachar until three moedim pass. That's how we paskin. That's on a Doraisa level. So in effect, I can be laid back about it and take my time. I'll bring the carbon whenever I bring it. That's on a Doraisa level. But on a Drabonon level, there's a principle called Chayshinon Lemisa Lizman Meruba. Which means that you cannot postpone a mitzvah for a lengthy, extended period of time because we're Chayshin Lemisa. So this principle of Chayshin Lemisa doesn't exist on a Doraisa level.
So what is Chayshin Lemisa?
We're afraid that he might die. The Torah law does not make you into a psychotic that every minute you have to think you're going to die. There are people, by the way, who think that way. But on a Drabbanan level, there is a concept of within an extended period of time, we're afraid of death. We're going to have this in Evan Ezer over and over again because, for example, a man sends a shliach and the shliach is meant to be Makadish and Isha for him or Megarish and Isha, and he can only do so if the Mishalech is still alive. And we don't say Chayshina Lemisa. If, on the other hand, he's a Goses or if you have to know about the difference between a Treif and a Goses, but if he's a Goses, then we are Chayshish Lemisa because he's already in the process of dying. In the case of a treifa, we give him a 12-month period of time. We assume he's going to be alive in 12 months. Okay, that's not for us today. I just want to point out that Ram Shik is very nervous about the derabbanan halach of chayshina lemisa, and he proves that zman meruba is not a year, It's not a month. It's 7 days. So if you want to postpone a mitzvah for 7 days and assume you'll still be alive to fulfill it, that's okay even on the Drabbana level. But if it's more than that period of time, then Chayshina L'misa L'zman Merub. So therefore you would not postpone bringing a karbon from one regal to the other because of the Issa Drabbana of Chayshina L'misa. If this be the case, Rabosai, we could really summarize three different issues with regard to postponing period for rivet. One is Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvah, so maybe I could learn to live with that. The second is the Drabbana of Chayshina L'misa L'zman Meruba. But the third, which is I think most prominent because it's a Daraisa Halacha, is that any mitzvah, unless we know otherwise, is assumed to be immediate. Now is the time for the mitzvah. And even though you have a lifetime to fulfill that mitzvah and obtain its kiyum, but nevertheless, every minute that you postpone that mitzvah, it's a bittul mitzvah saseh for that period of time. And therefore, Rabosai, if we want to get practical about it, I don't know of any heter, other than again, you know, pikuach nefesh, of postponing the mitzvah period of Arivia for someone who hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah at all.
Why not? There's a chiyuv right now.
Because the chiyuv is immediate. Because any mitzvah that doesn't have a zman to it is by implication the mitzvah is immediate.
Is all built on the chazanish?
I'm building myself on the chazanish. However, once a person has a child, now the story gets more complicated.
How do we relate that to the first Mishnah in Brokos, where you've got a mitzvah of Shvat, and the rabbis allow you later on later? So we're going to therefore say, Abdul Chatzos, so Abdul the Shachar, and you haven't said it till then, you have Vatel mitzvah to say? Or is there a difference between Shot Pachar is there the whole time? So it doesn't actually start then. Okay.
Maybe it's B'shav B'chav, meaning
that's the whole time of right. Doing it, but then you've got an extra Hidur, so that's different. Yeah.
Could be.
Okay.
But what about for learning Torah? He says he can't afford it.
So that's a separate discussion.
It's like once he's married.
That's a separate discussion. I don't think that there's any heter for the sake of Limud Torah to postpone period of Arivia. It could be, it's not could be, it's definite that for postponement of marriage, that we find that Talmud Torah takes precedence. And then I'd like to give a whole shiur on that if you're interested. What are the guidelines within the context of relationship between Talmud Torah and period of Arivia to postpone marriage? But once we're talking about a married couple, and now the mitzvah of period verivia entails not just the kumvaseh of period verivia to try as hard as he can, but a bittul essay, if you were to do an action to postpone that mitzvah, that itself, I think, would not be mitigated in any way by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. However, what about a couple that has a child? Admittedly, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah period for review with one child.
Before we go on to one child, does the Rav know what are the different, what constitutes pikuach nefesh or things that
pikuach nefesh? We'll get to pikuach nefesh in a few minutes, but we know that when we discuss the various methods of birth control, because there it's going to be very relevant, believe it or not. One method of birth control is unacceptable if there's no pikuach nefesh, but it becomes acceptable if there is pikuach nefesh, not because of the din of v'chaybahem, but because of the nature of the action that they're doing to prevent the zera from impregnating a woman. So let's hold on for a few minutes and we'll try to get a grasp of what pikuach nefesh is. Okay. Now, with regard to, I'll be right with you, Nissan, with regard to what the literature calls spacing, meaning you already have a child, and the question is, can she now immediately get pregnant again and bear another child? So there's a tshuva of the B'nai Banim. Now again, I have to just this part, this little parenthetical insert that I'm adding should be dok v'tishkach. You know, if you quote me, I'll deny that I ever said it. But you won't find too many tshuvas that are makil on anything we could discuss about it. And that's why I'm quoting the Bnei Banan, because this rabbi is one of the few rabbanim who had the gumption of actually publishing a tshuva to be makil in a very revolutionary kula.
It's ironic the name. It's the same thing as ironic.
Bnei Banan, right? So it's called Bnei Banan because Rav Herzl Henkin is a grandson of Rav Yosef Henkin, Zichrono Livracha. Just a word about Rav Henkin, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Henkin was the posek in America. You know, again, to your generation, it's hard to explain that, because if I would ask any of you gentlemen who's the posek in America, you'd all say it was Rav Moshe Feinstein. But believe it or not, there was something, not just the wilderness before Rav Moshe. There was something in existence before Moshe. There were great Rabbanim in America before Rav Moshe. Great poskim. But no question that the Gadol HaPoskim and the Zaken HaPoskim was Rav Yosef Henkin. My father, Zichrono Livracha, would turn to Rav Henkin for any serious shiloh that he had. And for many Rabbanim in my father's age bracket, the transition after Rav Henkin passed away to Rav Moshe was a very difficult one. Because Rav Henkin had his own style. And you know, you get used to a Rav, I say Lecha Rav, and it's very difficult to get used to someone else. So the Bnei Banan is written by Rav Henkin's grandson, and he quotes things in the name of his grandfather we know of only from this sefer called Bnei Banan. We don't have any other source for it. And especially when it comes to Psak Halacha, which is depending a lot on Minhagim, what was the Minhag back in Litta, for example, with regard to spacing from one child to the next? So he writes the following: Pasak Hagon Mori Uzkeni, my grandfather, Shemuto Leisha Limnoa Hiroyon Afilu Li Arba V'Yoser Shonim, 4 years and beyond. Again, Rav Osai, in certain circles, if you would quote this tshuva, they would immediately dismiss you. You're chutz l'machna.
This was the minhag lita, he says?
We'll get to that. He says, achrei alid, k'tzricho l'tapil b'yelit. Again, what's critical that we understand is that Rav Henkin's kula is conditional. It's not carte blanche. It's because she needs to dedicate herself to the raising of the child. The horachin halach lemaisa kama pa'amim, and here's the punchline: v'lo chilek benim kiyim abal piriviriv o lo kiyim piriviriv. So what we're understanding now is, for the sake of raising the first child, you could postpone the mitzvah piriviriv. And the makor, the source for this, is a gemara in Ksubis. Daf Samach, the Brisa Tana Rabbanan Yonek Tinok Vaholech Ad Esrim V'Arba Chadoshim Mikan V'Elik Yonek Sheketz Divri Rabbi Leza Rabbi Yeshua Omer Afilu Arba V'Chamisham, that a child should be nursed for up to 5 years. Now again, I don't know of such a mitzvah in my reality. I've heard of children who are 2 and even 3. You know, in one case I heard of. I don't know, 4 and 5 is kind of rare, but the Gemara says so. And again, keep in mind that Hanukkah is something very critical, especially during the... You know, today we have all sorts of formulas and this and that, but again, this is for another discussion. If you would ask me, you know, personally, from my life experience, I would tell you that it's immeasurably important for a woman, if she's only capable of doing so, to nurse a child as long as she possibly can. But that's for a different discussion. In any event, the Gemara is in Ksuvas Daf Samach, and based on this Gemara,
what's the Gemara say?
The Gemara says again. I'll read it to you again. Rabbi Shua Omer Afilu Arba V'Chamesh Shanim. Okay, you'll take a look in the Gemara.
Prevents segregation.
Exactly. Comes along Rav Henkin with a very unique histaklut, and he says that what the Gemara is talking about here is juggling, is a balancing act. I hope that's not mine. I'm usually mocked to shut mine off, but you never know. it's a balancing act, because on the one hand we want to encourage peer review, let's go on and have another child. On the other hand, we want to give all the attention and all the tzrachim to the first child as much as we can. And Rav Henkin quotes a minhag back in Litta that they relied on this. This is going back before World War II. And you get the impression that there were two different versions of exactly what the minhag was before the war. For example, Rav Moshe, in very early in Evan Ezra, this is in Chelik Aleph, at the beginning of Simon Samach Dalet, right? Samach Dalet Emek Rifayim, that's Siyata Deshmaya, 64. So in that Simon, Rav Moshe says that the minhag in Litta was 2 years, to allow a postponement of having children for 2 years until the conception of the second child.
This he quotes as well?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm going from one paragraph to the other, and if you hang in, Moshe, let me just present the whole picture. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, the minhag was up to 2 years. And his basis for the minhag is not the Gemara in Ksubas about Hanukkah, but rather a Gemara in Nida, which discusses how long a woman will need after birth to get back to her strength and to transition from the status of a chole sheyesh bo sakana to a chole she'ein bo sakana. Let me explain. As you all know, a woman after childbirth for a certain period of time has the status of a chola sheyesh bo sakana. But how long does she have the status of a chola in general? The nafkamina is to be matir and iser d'rabbana. For example, fasting on Tisha B'Av, or fasting next week we have Shavasa B'Tamos. So Rav Moshe says that there are two types of derabbanans. There's a derabbanan chamur and a derabbanan kal. We can be matir an iser derabbanan kal for the sake of a chola she'ein bo sakana, but not an iser derabbanan chamur. And Rav Moshe assumes that fasting on Tisha B'Av is chamur. It's a very stringent requirement. We will not allow a woman who's nursing during that 24-month period of time to eat on Tisha B'Av. However, we will allow her to eat on Shivasar B'Tamos, because that we can be making. Now, if you want to research this, I'll just give you a Mara Mokom. Take a look in Siman Tav Kuf Mem in Or Chaim and Tav Kuf Mem Dalet. And you'll have a comparison between Meinekes with regard to Tisha B'Av and Meinekes with regard to Shavas B'Tamos. In any event, a woman...
In Rav Moshe?
No. I'm just saying, if you want to research what the status of Meinekes is vis-a-vis the different fast days, so those are Mekomos that you might want to research. And those are issues that come up all the time.
The heter is also a woman that she's...
Oh, so the heter is that a woman after childbirth has a din of a chola. Although ain bo sakana, we're not going to say she's a chola sheish bo sakana for 24 months, but since she's still weak and she's nursing, by the way, the Gemara in Nida that I mentioned, Aftes Omid Aleph, is not referring to a menekes and only a menekes. The Gemara seems to assume that any woman after childbirth, even if she's not a menekes, Leda itself has that impact that extends for a 2 year period of time. So therefore, if we summarize the where we're up to at this point, both according to Rav Henkin and according to Rav Moshe, there seems to be a basis for postponement after a woman has given birth to one child, the mitzvah period of Rivia has not yet been achieved, to postpone period of Rivia. And the basis for this is that childbirth, according to Rav Moshe, since it weakens a woman, she has a din of a chola, and therefore we can allow her to postpone this. Again, this is my language, not Rav Moshe's. This halacha of biyom hiros hanega, that the mitzvah is immediately imposing on a person for the sake of a cholah she'ein bo sakana, or in Rav Henkin's frame of reference, for the sake of hanaka, which again, hanaka doesn't mean hanaka. Of course it means hanaka, but hanaka is a code word, abstract, conceptually means for the sake of raising the child. Now that could take on many different permutations, and for this you need a horas chacham. What is it about the second child and its birth that prevents a parent from giving due to raising the first child? What are the facts on the ground here? What are the physical and psychological considerations that allow a person to honestly say that for the sake of raising the child, I need to focus on this child and only on this child? And within the framework of Meinekes, Rav Henkin will allow for a period of up to 4 years of spacing, whereas Rav Moshe is only going to allow within the context of Chol HaShem Bo Sakon up to 24 months. Now, I can't tell you, I can't vouch for whether or not there was such a minig in Litig to go beyond 24 months, but Kuliyama Lo Pligi, that up to 24 months there was such a minig. And to move for a moment from the Ashkenazic world to the Sephardic world, Rav Avadi Yosef in Yechaved Das, in his first volume, in Sima Lamed Hei, quotes the Marsham. As I told you, the Marsham is very important. We're going to come back to the Marsham over and over again. If anybody wants a photocopy, I have to thank Chaim for that. He pulled out a copy from the internet. You see that you can use the internet for good things if you have the proper supervision. So the Marsham is quoted as saying that Yoledes, a woman after childbirth, does not fast on Shivasa B'Tammuz for 2 years, even if she's not nursing. So clearly, there are poskim, contemporary poskim, as great as Rav Avadi Yosef, who are willing to rely on the Marsham to extend the heter of Chol HaShe'ein Bo Sakana for a full period of 2 years.
What's the basis of Ein Bo Sakana?
This is the Gemara in Nida Daf Tes, that a woman doesn't get back to her full strength until 24 months have passed by since her childbirth. In Yiddish it's called a kimpeturin. I don't think that's a Yiddish word. It probably comes from some other language. So again, if we go with the Chayshina Lemisa Lizman, right, Lizman Aruch, then I would say that Chayshina Lemisa, and again I'd have to prove this to you, is only an Iser Kal. It's an Iser Kal similar to fasting or eating on Shivas V'Tamuz, and therefore we can override that for the sake of a Chol HaShem Bo Sakon. If, on the other hand, we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa of period of Arivi, which doesn't suffer any, doesn't tolerate any postponement in the framework of the Chazon Ish, then keep in mind we're talking about a bittul mitzvah aseh d'oraisa for the sake of a chol she'ein bo sakana. Then we're dealing with an iser chamor. We're not dealing with an iser kal. And therefore, I would submit to you the following, that whether or not postponement after the first child would be allowed or not would be allowed would depend conceptually, I'm not talking practically, give me two paragraphs here, would depend conceptually on whether or not postponement is simply a violation of the Iser Derabbanon of Chayshina Lemisa, that the Rabbanan say you have to worry about non-fulfillment, or it's the Chazon Ish's definition of the mitzvah d'oraisa in this case, which makes the mitzvah absolutely urgent, which would not allow us to be matir for Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. Rav Moshe Feinstein is tshuva allowing postponement for up to 24 months would seem to be assuming that the issue is not a d'oraisa issue, And in fact, it's not even a Drabbanan Chamur issue, but it's similar not to Tisha B'Av, but rather Tisha B'Av and Tammuz. So quoting the Minigan Litta of postponement of 24 months, which we call spacing for a two-year period, would by definition indicate that Rav Moshe is not operating with the premise of the Chazon Ish. He may not even be aware of this Chazon Ish at the end of Megillah. Possibly, I don't know. He doesn't quote the Chazon Ish. Which would have an impact on our original discussion about not spacing but postponing the mitzvah. And again, Rav Moshe would not allow postponing of the mitzvah because that itself is a violation of an Issa Drabbanan al Kol Ponim. It might not be a Deraisa, but it's a Drabbanan Chayshin L'Misa. However, maybe there are circumstances, you know, similar to the case of fasting for a woman. Again, I'm not saying that we're talking about fasting now. We're not our discussion is not about fasting, but I'm saying if you could find a health issue, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh, but a health issue that would be comparable to fasting for a woman who just gave birth within that 24 period of time, and the only issue that you're facing here is chayshina l'misa, you know, then there might be room. Again, as I told you before, I don't know of any bona fide posek who goes on record as being matir, but I'm just saying conceptually, you know, there might be room if you follow my calculation. Do you want to go over that, or maybe we don't have enough time? I just want to try to finish up a few more things before we wrap it up. But Moshe at the end of the tshuva seems to backtrack a little bit. Again, the tshuva is Siyata Dishmaya Samach Dalet in Chelik Aleph Evan Ezer. That's pretty easy to remember, is it not? So again, Rav Moshe in the tshuva does question the validity of such a minhag of spacing. And we would also quote the Chazon Ish, because even if you accept the Marsham that she has a status of a Chol Shein Bo Sakana, that would only help under the Chayshin and Lemisa, would not, as a Drabbanan, would not help under the Chazon Ish. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the Yechavadas, who's, you know, that's a pretty serious posek, who accepts the Marsham. He doesn't wince about it, that he allows spacing of up to two years. So again, you know, I want to be practical, but it's not always easy to be practical, especially when you have machlokas of two poskim who are contemporary. So, you know, you have to make that choice decision and go to a rav and decide with the rav whether you're going to rely on those poskim who will allow for spacing of 2 years, or you're going to, even though Rav Moshe again at the beginning of the tshuva he quotes the Marsham, but at the end of the tshuva he backs away from it. And therefore, I would say that this is a classical case of Aseh L'cha Rav.
What are the options?
I'm just saying that halacha l'maisa, we want to get to some practical conclusion here. You would have to choose your posek here.
What does she do?
And this is not just pick and choose. You're not saying, Sunday I choose this posek because he's making on this. And so I'm talking about Aseh L'cha Rav. You know, that's not an easy mitzvah to fulfill, Aseh L'cha Rav. But let's assume you have your Rav. Your Rav will have to navigate through this mess. You have one child, and you would like to postpone having another child. Can you do so? And again, which method of birth control to use is the next discussion that we want to have. But you want to do so for very good reasons. You know, the woman has to get back to herself. She wants to nurse the child. She wants to take care of the child and raise the child. So again, you may know what I would tell you. Maybe you could figure it out. If you can't, you'll ask me privately. But you know, there's certainly room to rely on Rav Ovadia Yosef, who in turn relies on the Marsham. And as I say, the Marsham becomes the kingpin for many different discussions that we're going to have. Even when we get down to the nitty gritty of what method of birth control should be used, the Marsham is the kingpin. You know, every tshuva that's written always quotes the Marsham. And then again, there's the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Ozer, but the Marsham is the breakthrough. So that's one school of thought. And certainly, if we leave the Chazon Ish on the side for a moment, and we take up the approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that we're talking about postponing a mitzvah under a violation of Chayshina Lemisa, which is only a Derabbanan, there is, again, I'm not trying to be mezalzel with the Derabbanan, but if we define, in the context of fasting, Chayshina Lemisa, as a, and postponing the mitzvah period of Rivia as an Iser Kal rather than Iser Chomer, again, that needs a great deal of research, then, once again, we have room to be making. Rav Moshe, in his published tshuva, I'm not sure what he said to people about Peh, goes on record as being very, very, conservative and hesitant to allow for spacing as a carte blanche heter, just simply because a couple says they want to raise the child and they need to get back to themselves. But halacha l'maisa, yei shal mi lisma. Now, just again, I don't know if maybe we should continue on this shiur next week because I see I didn't get to finish it. But I do want to say, as maybe as a bridge to the next time we discuss this topic, is that if the man and the woman, the couple, has fulfilled the mitzvah period, if they have one boy and one girl, the whole picture changes. Because now we're dealing with La Erev Al Tanach Yodech. And what we have to analyze, can I just say this as a segue to the next discussion about a couple who has both a boy and a girl, they have fulfilled the mitzvah period of Rivia. If we assume that La Erev Al Tanach Yodecha comes under a fundamentally different kind of category. Again, I'm not talking about Doraisa versus Derabbanan, but rather a new kind of Derabbanan that doesn't really fill the standards of a classical Derabbanan. And we're going to see that the Mishnah Melech is going to be indicted from the Rambam about Ketana. Then in the case where they don't have children, the Rambam prohibits Ketana. That's an illusion, but in Nisurei Bia, the Rambam only prohibits marrying a Zkena or an Islandess. He allows marrying a Ketana by omission. So the Mishnah Melech says that whereas in Hilchus Ishus, he's talking about someone who has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah period rule. Therefore, he's not allowed to marry a Ketana and postpone period rule. But in Hilchos Nisurei Bia, he's talking about a man who has fulfilled the basic mitzvah. And now he's obligated under La Erev Al Tanach Yodech to have more children. Here the Rambam drops the ball on Ketana. Do you remember this? We discussed this in a long distance shiur way back when. And it's a beautiful diuk of the Mishnah Melech, whereas in one case the Rambam has Ketana, in one case he doesn't. And that's going to have a spin-off on how we define the mitzvah of La Erev, and we'll have an afkamina difference as far as postponing La Erev because you've already obtained the mitzvah of period. Okay, then, so we'll stop here, we'll take questions, and...
Yeah.